Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. Hey, Tasila, how are you today?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine and very excited today also because of our guest. I'll tell everybody about that a little later. But for right now, I would like for all of you to pick up your phones or grab your computers and go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537, 646-668-8537. Or just click on the picture of TNT, a picture of T. Meyer and Tasila on the link wherever you see our post for this particular show. Just go ahead and click on the link. You might see us on, you may see the post on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Wherever you see it, just click on the link, okay, and listen to the entire program from your computer. If you don't want to dial in, you can listen from your computer. We're also on KBRG, The Bridge Gospel Radio, iHeartRadio.com, or just go to RadioKBRG.com and click on Christian Talk. Every Thursday at 6 p.m. Just tune in and listen from your computer. As a matter of fact, it would be good to go ahead and tune in to that radio station regardless, because they'll be playing Christian Talk probably throughout the week and the other good programs that come on that radio program as well. So you want to check it out, okay? That's The Bridge Gospel Radio on iHeartRadio.com, or just go to RadioKBRG.com. Click on Christian Talk and listen to us. Tune in. All righty. So we're going to just keep going. You know, Pastor Tasila, how has your week been? How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm blessed, and I'm very happy, and I'm really can't wait to hear our guest all the way from the UK and
yes,
beautiful music, and can't wait to see what the Holy Spirit is about to reveal to all of us, because we got a good
question today. Oh, yes, and I think we're going to have a really good program tonight, so we want everyone to stay tuned. But first, I hear something coming. Hold on, everybody, hold on. Hold on tight. Yes, indeed. That's it. You guessed it. It is time for the TNT moment. Our TNT moment. All right, so Pastor Tasila, what do we have for today?
Oh, we have a magnificent question, and that is,
okay,
what is a manifested Son of God?
Okay.
Well,
that's a good
one. And a little bit about it is, Revelation 14:4-5 says, "These are they that follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes." It's a spirit-led ministry of twice-born Christians, born of water and
yeah,
the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8:14 says, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Revelations
yes,
1 through 6 says, we are kings and priests and joint heirs of God. We should all be manifesting the presence of God. That's God's eternal purpose. Romans 8:29,
yeah,
Jesus is the firstborn among the brethren. But what are you manifesting, Sister Tasila? Someone, I don't get it. You're manifesting the Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
You're fulfilling the prayer of Jesus. Jesus always knew the eternal purpose of God. And he spoke on it in his last prayer. He already knew that God wants to manifest himself in you and through you. The enemy wants to steal from you. And the Lord knows that he has some blessed plans for you already and for his whole creation and for good and not evil. He has some really good plans for the people. But the enemy is always trying to steal from them and not allow them, even in church, to not know who they are and what God has created them for a relationship with him.
Yeah.
And sometimes
right,
people go to church and they get in systems. And systems is
yeah,
one thing, but God is so good. He is not trying to hurt us. And he wants us to grow in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he poured out his spirit on a day of Pentecost with the intentions of his spirit being poured out on all flesh. And it talks about it in Joel 2, too, when he says, as the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people and a strong, there has not ever been the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. And the land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. The kingdom of God is before them, and the fire will destroy anything that's not of God. Acts 2:17 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens and above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel 2:32 says, and it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant. In the remnant is going to be deliverance, whom the Lord shall call.
Hallelujah.
There's a small remnant of people that God is going to use in this hour. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Romans 8:19 tells us, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. The whole creation, and you can feel it, you see it, and you know it. I don't care what country, what place, what city you live in, you are affected by something in some way, whether it's pollution. You are affected, and that is the whole creation on the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's why they're waiting. And to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Again, for we know that whole creation travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. The down payment, like an engagement ring, is the first fruit of the Spirit we have, that we all have received. We're also groaning and travailing for more of God. We need more, church, Christians. Don't settle for what you have. Bombard the heavens in prayer, asking God for more of his outpouring of his Spirit. A lot of people say, well, God already poured out his Spirit. He did on the day of Pentecost. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see they got the Holy Spirit poured out on them. First of all, Jesus anointed them and sent them out. And then on the day of Pentecost, they got anointed again. And then in Acts chapter 4, they got anointed again. They was always looking for more, more of God's Spirit, and more of him and less of us. But Paul goes on to say, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. And Isaiah 10:27 says it, puts it like this, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, that's the enemy's burden that is on the whole earth right now, shall be taken away from off your shoulders, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. That's what we need, more anointing, more of the Holy Spirit outpouring. But you gotta ask God for it. The yoke and the fallen nature will be completely broken because of God's outpouring. Ephesians 4:30 says, the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. Is there more? Yes, there is more in Christ Jesus. He is what we are being manifested with. Are you fully manifested yet? No. Okay, then we need more. More of him and less of us.
But more of me and less of me.
Exactly. I love his prayer. It is so beautiful. And the one that Jesus did in John 17:21. And it's the best one of my scriptures. I love all of them, but this one is the one that I really love, that's real close to my heart. And Jesus clearly explains what it means to be a manifested son of God. I could talk about it. I could pull scriptures. I could show you different ways. But when he prayed this prayer, he showed us what he really wants. And he says, Lord, I pray for them to become one with us. So that the world will recognize that you sent me for the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them.
Yes.
So that they may experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, and they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have loved me. Father,
yes.
I ask that you allow everyone that you have given to me be with me where I am. Then they will see my full glory, the very splendor you have placed upon me, because you have loved me even before the beginning of time. You are my righteous Father, but the unbelieving world has never known you in the perfect way that I have known you. And all those who believe in me also know that you have sent me. I have revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them. I just love it. So that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. See, there's more. There's always more in Christ. God is not finished with you yet. He says, for you. For your love will now live in them even as I live in them. Jesus knew the eternal purposes of God is for us to be manifested sons of God, all flesh filled with the fullness of God, manifesting his presence. I just got one more scripture for the unbeliever, if you're listening. And 1 John 3:2, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's what's being manifested son of God. Right, Brother T?
That is so correct. Pastor Tasila, that you just brought that out really good, because people have to know, especially Christians, we have to know the mystery behind being a son of God, the revelation of it. You know, Christians often say, I'm a son of God, or they'll take it lightly by saying things like, I'm a child of the King. You know, they say this without really having the revelation of what it really means to be a son of God. In all things, we follow the example of Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit placed God's incorruptible seed inside of Mary's womb, he did the same to every person who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, the Holy Spirit falls on us. It falls upon us, which means that the incorruptible seed, which is Jesus, is now in you. But it must be activated. It must be nourished. But many Christians never nourish that incorruptible seed within them, so they never grow or wax strong in the Spirit. They stay stagnant with no Holy Spirit activity in their lives simply because they received the word, but they didn't keep the word. Jesus gave us an example of this by what he said in Matthew chapter 13, verses 19 through 23. He said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth them away, or catch away that which was sown in their hearts. The wicked one come and take the word. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives the seed into stony places, the same is he that hear the word and with joy receive the word, yet hath he doesn't have root in himself, that root of faith in himself. But during it endures for a while, but the tribulation or persecution, when that arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. You see, they get offended by the word, so then they'll back off from the word. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that hear the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. They let the world overtake them, and it takes the word, and that word is that seed. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that hear the word and understand the word. That means they got the revelation of it, which also bear fruit. There are the ones that bear fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Those who heard and truly received the word are those who God gave the ability or power to become sons of God. Did you know, Pastor Tasila, we have to become sons of God. Just because we receive the word, we hear it, and we believe it, we still have to keep moving forward. We have to become sons of God. Just because we receive Jesus doesn't mean that we are immediately a son of God. We must become sons of God, and God has to give us that ability. He has to give us that power to become sons of God, the authority to become sons of God. He has to give us the right to become sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We must know the revelation of what it means to be a son of God and not take what God has for us as being something common or take it lightly. Just like most Christians say that, well, you know, you hear Christians say, well, I'm born again. I'm a born again Christian. Well, there's a revelation behind us being born again, as it is written in verse 13. As you go on and read John chapter 1, we read 12. Now let's read verse 13, which were born, and this scripture means literally born again, brought to life by birth. We are literally born again, not of blood, which means not born of fallen natured blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not of the will of the flesh. This new birth is not a fleshly thing. So Christians, don't make it a fleshly thing, nor of the will of man. This is not man's will or a man-made plan or something conceived of man or a denomination, right? It's not that. They're talking about people who are born of God. It says, but of God, but born of God, which were born of God. To be sons of God means to be born of God. You literally really have to be born of God. To be a son of God means to be an heir of God. It means to be an heir of God. Jesus was the heir of God. Jesus inherited God himself. Can you think about that? Ponder that. We're actually inheriting God. He was God's heir. We are God's heir. Therefore, all power and dominion was given to Jesus in the heavens and in the earth. And we, as true sons of God, the real true believers, are joint heirs with Christ, having the authority of Christ within us so that we can do the perfect will of God in this hour. We are just as much sons of God as Jesus is the Son of God. And when I say sons of God, I mean sons and daughters of God. They are all, it's all considered sons of God. Sons and daughters are sons of God. And God loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. Now we must be manifested. We must be manifested. And that was the question. What is a manifested son of God? We must be manifested. To be manifested means that we are to be brought to light, to be made clear, to be made obvious, right in your face, so that there's no mistake. Jesus said that he is the Son of God. Jesus, he said, I am the Son of God. He said he's the Son of God, and he could prove it. He could prove it. We must be able to prove that we are sons of God. We can't just yell out or tell someone that we're sons of God. Yeah, I'm a son of God, or holler out, I'm a child of the king, and not be able to prove it. The thing is that we are sons of God, but we have to say that by faith. Right now, we say it by faith, but the time is coming when we're going to be able to prove it. We say we're born again by faith, but the time is coming when the world will see it. One day, our faith will bring the manifestation of who we are to light so that the world will see and know that we are indeed sons of God, because we will be able to prove it just like Jesus could prove it. He did the works of the Father, and we shall do the works of Jesus. Remember, Jesus called us his greater works people. And let's be honest, I haven't seen anybody doing greater works than Jesus, not yet. If an unbeliever comes to you and say, prove to me that you are a son of God, what would you do at that point? How would you truly be able to show this unbeliever, you know, that you're a son of God? You can't throw scriptures at them because they don't believe in scriptures. They're unbelievers. So you can't tell them what the Bible says. They won't accept it. What can you do to prove to an atheist that you are a son of God? This is something to think about. Well, the only thing we can do at this point is to pray for the person and ask the Lord to confirm who he is in that person or to that person. Then the person will believe. It would take the Lord to do it. But once Christ has completed his work in us and we have totally submitted to the perfect will of God, then we will be able to show the world who Jesus is. And by doing that, then the world will know who we are. We show the world who Jesus is. We're anointed for that. Then the people will know who we are, the manifested sons of God. The world is waiting for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting. So let us, the true believers in the world, the true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, continue to prepare ourselves to receive the seven spirits of God to rest upon us forever. We are his bride, and the bride makes herself ready. We have to make ourselves ready keep in mind that Jesus had to wait until a certain time as well before he was manifested or clearly seen as the Son of God. And God the Father made it clear to the people. He made it clear who he was in the presence of all the people. Matthew 3, verse 17, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." So, just as Jesus is the Word made flesh, we shall also be the Word made flesh again, because Christ will dwell in us of a truth, making us sons of God. Amen. Amen. And amen. Woo, I tell you. Oh, that's it for our TNT moment, okay? Don't go away, because we're going to be back with our special guest. So in the meantime, just hang in there and hold on. Don't go away. Hold on. Listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT, and we are back with our special guest today. Are you ready for this, Tasila? You ready for our special guest?
Oh, I am.
I know. You've been talking about Freddie pretty much all week, or at least since you've heard his single. You have been talking about it. So now, we are here today. Our special guest today is renegade recording artist, renegade soul recording artist, Freddie Lee. How are you, my brother? How you doing, Freddie?
I'm doing okay, man.
I
must give honor to God, and it's a blessing just to be alive. And to be extended the invitation, and I thank you so much.
Oh man, we very much appreciate that you agreed to come on the show, and I've read a lot of your texts, well, a lot of your posts on Facebook and everything, and you have a lot of good uplifting things that you're sharing with the people. It's like a ministry of that by itself. But before we go any further, I want to tell the people a little bit about Freddie Lee. Okay. First of all, you're a DJ. You're a DJ at Solar Radio in the UK. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. You were a former assistant pastor at Greater New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Pahokee, Florida. Did I say that
That's
correct?
True.
Pahokee, Florida.
That's right. That's correct.
Okay. You were also an elementary and high school teacher at Miami-Dade County Education Department and a former counselor at South Florida Psychological Evaluation Treatment Center. And going back even a little bit more, back in 2008 to 2010, Freddie Lee Peterkin, that's who we're talking to, people, of Pahokee, Florida, made his mark on the music scene with the crossover gospel soul album Beyond Comprehension. He received FM airplay on both sides of the Atlantic, and a career in TV, film, and theater followed. His latest single, Freedom. That's your latest single. It's Freedom. That's on Renegade Soul Records. Freedom began as a melodic and instrumental idea created by my longtime buddy and childhood friend Dana Myers. He's a hit songwriter, and my wife and I, we know Dana. I've been knowing him for years, and she's been knowing him for years too. But I knew him ever since he was a kid.
Wow.
He's written songs for Shalamar, The Whispers, Glenn Jones. I mean, you name it. He's done background vocals.
Wow.
He's been on stage. He even performed with Lakeside. I used to be a member of Lakeside, and Dana Myers actually performed with Lakeside. So this guy's been all over the place. I've shared the stage with Dana and the studio. Uh-huh. We've done studio work together. He is
and
an outstanding talent.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful voice. He's an outstanding talent. So I'm so glad that you guys hooked up, you know. And also, who wrote this song with you guys was Kevin Johnson of the group Slade, the late Kevin Johnson of the group Slade.
Oh,
you got
really?
Some Dayton people up in there, Dayton, Ohio people.
Oh, yeah.
Freddie Lee added lyrics and his signature harmony arrangements, along with somebody else that we know very well. What's that lady's name, Freddie, that we know so well? And she's
Jesse Tang.
Probably. Jesse Tang. She's probably listening right now. Okay, so she helped you also with. She's a very serious about the Lord, very anointed woman, hard worker, and she's the CEO of Renegade Soul Records. Her and Joy and Sonia, they're all just working hard, making things happen in the UK and all over the world with the radio, with the record companies,
mm-hmm.
I should say. 5AM Production, these guys. Your project was produced by Tony Bean and Colin Bassett, and they gave this track a real contemporary Gamble and Huff type of flavor with a touch of jazz. You know, here's a good idea. Why don't we just go ahead and listen to your song right now? This is Freddie Lee with his latest single, Freedom.
The love of my life. Don't you know you are the one to make me smile? You know what you are in my life. Oh, don't they know you are the apple of my eye? Oh, don't they know that love will never
what? Oh, while I was saying this, when I first heard that song, it was we were just going through some, mulling through some some stuff that Dana had sent across. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, my goodness, I love what's happening with it, because he was humming a melody, but the word that stood out the most, that he, only word that he said was freedom, right at the mm-hmm. end of each, like, hum or phrase. Because to me, when we mm-hmm. initially spoke about it, he was like, man, if the word freedom is too much, you can change it. I said, no, I wouldn't do that, Dana, because it had to mean something to you for you to say that word. So I don't want to take that
right.
word out. It's a beautiful word. We just have to find another word that marries, that completes it. And when I said just leave
yeah.
it with me, I got to sleep with it. And I mean literally, I had to sleep with the song. The melody
yeah.
came to me, love and freedom.
Mm.
And
mm.
we brought that together,
yeah.
and then the song was born from that aspect.
Mm. Mm. That's usually how it happens, too. You know, you have to kind of sleep on it. You got to nurture it a little bit and go back
mm-hmm.
and forth, and yeah. And that's how you do it, you know. And you've been in the business for a while.
Well, good job to you.
Yeah, good job, man.
Good job.
Very good job.
Good job.
Singing,
good
writing.
Beautiful vocals.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Mr.
Mm-hmm. And tell Jesse we said good job to her, too.
Okay. Well,
yeah. That was very good.
It was. So take us back, you know, even let's go back to your childhood. Were you brought up in the church, or tell us a little bit about that?
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I was. When I was growing up, I was that kid who was, you know, I'll hide and try to run and try to hide away, but my grandmother wasn't having it. And neither was my mom.
Oh, you have,
so,
yeah, boy, that, when you got one of those kind of grandmothers and your mom. Yeah, boy.
Mm-hmm. So we had to go to church. That was like mandatory. And, you know, in going to church, I often say a lot of times for so many people, as kids, we try to kick against that. But I thank God that I did go, because it's those things that were placed into me through listening and through constant hearing. My mother, my stepfather, father saying things periodically to me at different times. I can remember, even now, I can still hear some of the things my grandmother used to say to me, and it just resonates
mm-hmm.
with me, and hear my pastor say things. And those things actually, you know, just kept me grounded, you know, and
mm-hmm.
just
tell us some of them. We love those things, that old wisdom.
Yeah.
What was it like,
yeah.
Freddie? Tell us.
Well, I think for me, it was like, it was my, through what my pastor would say and the way he was being a Baptist minister. It was
mm-hmm.
a teaching, but as they closed their sermons, it was like almost like singing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it hooping, and I was fascinated by that. It was that thing
mm-hmm.
of something in there that moved me as a kid. I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I don't know if I was woke or something, but I was hearing things and what he was saying, and the way the message came across, and that's when I learned that so many people are given to different gifts. Some people are, it could be singing, it can be through to carry another word, but it's all a part of one big thing to bring us closer to God, to get
mm-hmm.
us to know about Jesus. For the word of God says, for those who come to God must first of all believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder
yeah.
of those who diligently seek him. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. So even as a kid, I understood to even go to God, I got to know that he exists. I got
mm-hmm.
to accept
Amen.
The fact that that's what it is, and then open my mind
mm-hmm.
to that it's because of God that we have a gift through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all of that. And I used to ask all of these questions, even as a kid, look up at the sky and would say, you know, it's got to be more to life than just this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
we
and still I always,
that, don't we?
You know, as a kid, and just ask these questions and constantly asking and seeking answers. And from that, I just got deeper and deeper into trying to get to understand who God is. And by understanding and get a better understanding of God, it better prepare me to know who Jesus is. And in the book of Hebrews, it just gives us a whole slew of things that even God himself gave him a name above all names. And the Father himself said to Jesus that he is God. And it's in the book. It's right there in the whole and all throughout Hebrews. It's there. And so I'm like, oh, my goodness. And my mind was just open to the understanding that the world itself and how it came to be and how it was created and all of these things, it just let me know that as an individual that it's far more to this life than just walking around here, living in existence and just breathing. But through our living and our existence and breathing, that people can come to know God and they can come to know Jesus. Because on my travels, I found that a lot of people got a problem with God, let alone Jesus. You got to get to that. I'm like, hey, man, you know, you're angry about things that you truly don't understand, because as an individual, we cannot fault God for the behavior of others. It's got nothing to do with God, you know. And to be honest,
he gets blamed for everything.
And some people are quick to say, oh, look what God has done to me. I say, no, God hasn't done anything to you. The truth is, we as individuals must hold ourselves accountable for the things that we do. We cannot turn around and say it's God's fault that people, that it's war. The Word of God teaches us that that's going to happen. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that it's God. It's got everything to do with the nature of people. I say when we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and it said that God got so angry that he even said, you know, every time I look into the hearts of men, they are constantly thinking bad things. They're constantly doing things to hurt each other, constantly doing this. And it goes on and on and on, as you know. And then we got the flood, but he only found that one individual that stood and say, I trust you, God. And he gave a command to Noah to do the things that he did just before the flood. And we know the story, but it's the people are the problem. And as people, we have to wake up and realize that God has paved the way by allowing his son to come and give his life for us so we would have an audience with him, you know, to be able to stand in the presence of God. For the Word of God said that those who come to him, you got to go through Jesus first. You just, you know, even though you go to God to trust and believe that who he is, but we have to learn that even Jesus said, you know, you got to believe to me to get to the Father. And through his blood and the shed of the blood is the reason why we are here, to be able to stand.
Yeah.
Because somebody had to be in that position good enough. I could say, use the word, that word, good enough to be able to die for us. We couldn't use a cow. We couldn't use a lamb. We had to use something. It had to be something far more greater. So he had to come. And it's a lot deeper than that, though, Pastor.
when we really go deeper
into why Christ had to come. And a lot of people, and I try to explain this to people, but it depends on what level people are on in Christ, what level they are on in terms of who God is, and why it came to be, why he had to come. Yet he had to come for us to get right with God and for our sins, but when we look deeper into it, it's all about that original sin. And the question is,
well, Freddie, go ahead and speak how you want to about it, and he that has an ear, let him hear.
Amen. Amen. You know, and that original sin was when Cain did what he did to Abel. When he killed his brother for the fact that God accepted his offering and jealousy entered into him. And he did what he did to his brother. And the word of God said the bloods cried out. And this is why killing people is such a bad thing, because they're not just killing a person, they're killing a whole generation of people. Because in a man are the seed that born generation of men, which is the reason why he made the promise to Abraham that I will make you a man of so many people. Because to be able to have so many people, the seed has already been planted in you. So when a man is being killed, you are killing a whole nation of people, not just a person. It's just like planting a seed. You have a seed in your hand and ask somebody, what do you see? Some people might say, I see a seed. I see a tree. But now you can see a whole orange grove in one seed. So in a man's embodiment, what God placed in us is nations and nations. Nations. So when you have children, your children have children. Their children have children. So on and so forth. And that's what made that sin so great, that Jesus had to come and make that original sin right. And by making that original sin right, the opportunity will open to all people to say, hey, man, we got to rethink about what we are doing. Because the whole thing was, a lot of people fail to understand that when Satan came in the garden and the Lord said, you know, I'm going to put enmity between you and man, that he will step on your head and you will bruise his heel, that he will go after our sons. Here we go again. After our sons. After our sons. But the truth of the matter is, what Satan wants to do is to bring enmity between man and woman. Because if you get rid of the fact that of men and women, there could be no procreation. And he doesn't want that.
That's true.
So
amen.
The way to get rid of it is to get down to the root of it. Is to turn men and women against each other. And if I can just get that, that's why you have so many families break up, so many things like divorces and stuff like that. And it's over little small things that can so easily be talked about, so easily be, you know, taken care of. But this is what they don't want to do, and then we'll bicker about little small things that have no true meaning, when the true matter is, if I could just come between that and stop procreation, slow it down, then that'll be less people to bring into the kingdom. It'll be less people, period, because if it's one thing that God said, he said to be fruitful and multiply. That we know for certain, he said, not just to man, but to every living thing on the planet. And if he could just undo that and unravel that, which he never will, because the power of God is far greater than that. It's far bigger than that. He is so massive and so huge. And being on the road for 25 or more years, I left my family. I was a kid and left America with dreams. And I didn't just leave just because I wanted to leave. Things that happened in my life, and I had prayed, I said, Lord, if it's meant for me to go, if it meant for me to do this, show me some signs. And did he show me some signs? And it wasn't long after I prayed that the signs came. I said, I got to leave this place, because if I don't, I'm gonna get myself in trouble, or the things are going to happen that are not good. And I got out here in a world just as green as grass. But through it all, I knew my boundaries. I knew the lines, what to do and what not to do and what not to cross. because if it's anything I fear in this life, it is God. God knows, and I mean that with everything in me, and I learned to trust him. And I often tell people it's not a case of can we trust God in the midst of our troubles. I know what he can do, but can God trust us to remain faithful in the midst of trouble? Can he trust us to do the thing that we ought to do? Because so many times we always ask why, but the question is why not? Why not if we say we trust him? Why not go through if we say we got faith in him? How can your faith be put to the test? It was the same thing with Job, and we know the story of Job. There is nothing that happened in our lives that God doesn't know about. And there is nothing that's taking place even now that he has not allowed. Sometimes God loves us so much that he's bragging in the heavens about how good and how wonderful we are. And he'll step back in the word of God and say, and there he was, and he turned up. Man, what you doing here? Well, I'm up and down, I'm walking up and down this place trying to see who I can mislead and mislead. You know, do whatever. And that's what Satan does, doesn't he? And God will say, okay, then, you know, I love this person. I love this person so much that, you know, this and that. So the devil, you know, say, well, if you just move this away from them and just let me have my way with them, but hey, you could, I'll do something to some degree, but you can't have their soul. But I can make them curse you. I can make them turn away from you. And this is a constant thing that many people don't see with their natural eye. And when things come to happen in their life, they got to reflect on the fact that God loves us so much to the fact he won't prove to the enemy that our love is so strong that we will remain faithful to him. And no matter how tough it gets, I've been there. I've seen things, Pastor, that just are so unbelievable on the spiritual realm. It has just opened my mind's eye to know who God truly is.
Yes.
My faith won't be shaken for no reason, regardless what anyone says or how they go about it. I have walked with him. I have seen him. I didn't have a family to lean on. I didn't have anybody to call on but God, because I was in strange places, didn't even speak the language. But the one thing about it, God always placed me in the care of good people and people who actually trust God too. So that's when I understood that he won't leave nor forsake us, nor would he put too much on us to bear. And I tell people all over, I don't have to carry a Bible in my hand. For the word of God say, let your light shine, so shine that men may see your good works, things that are in you that may glorify our Father which is in heaven, which reminds me of the scriptures that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For the God in me and the Jesus that is in me should shine so brightly that I don't have to say anything. I've been in places. I remember we was on one of my tours. I was after the show. I would normally get dressed and go home, but some of the guys I was with wanted to go somewhere. And I tell you, Pastor, I was getting ready to go into this place. Big old huge guys was on the front of the door. And all the other guys went in. And two guys stopped me, big guys, said, you don't belong here. Not a person like you. You don't go in there. You don't belong in this place. And I just walked away. I didn't question it. I didn't get into it. All I knew is I said to myself, that's God speaking to me. That's his way of getting, hey, Freddie, if you go in that place tonight, you're going to do something crazy. Just leave. And I left, got on the phone, and went to talking. And I always carry that with me because no matter where I have gone, the Lord has protected me. So many times I should be dead sleeping in my grave, Pastor. But the Lord has intervened in different ways, driving down the road one night, and all the lugs came off one tire on the passenger side. And when the recovery people came to pick up the car, the man stood there, I tell you, in this particular case, and just looked at me for about 2 minutes and didn't say a word and say, I don't understand. After, when he did decide to speak, how you are still alive. So you're driving around on a tire with no lugs on it, and your car didn't flip. You didn't have a major accident. And when he showed it to me, it's like the car, when I pulled over, Pastor, the tire leaned in to support the car from falling. But the car never turned over in the time that I was driving to get off the road. That's just another. It's so many things that's happened in my journey. And you know, Pastor, never once have I been to a doctor or even got sick to the point where I needed to see somebody. He has kept his hands on me. And everything that I go through and everything I get involved in, even though to the world it might be seen in a different manner, but I know God is in it for a greater good. Sometimes we got to go into these places where people don't understand to reach people. I've been in on a stage thing and very superstitious, Pastor. And people came to me and said, there's something in you that says you are born again. And I say, truly I am. Right there in the middle of the concert, we start praying and holding hands.
Yeah.
Right there, Pastor.
Yeah.
And I said to people all the time, sometimes they say, Fred, you're compromising your faith. I said, no, you can't say that. You can't say I'm compromising, because there's more than one way to reach a destination. And because you may not understand the way God is using me, just sit back and watch. Because sometimes somebody got to be able to go in the camp. There has never been a time that there has never been a war that somebody didn't go in and look in to see what they needed to do. Sometimes we have to step back and allow God to lead us, and we go into places to reach people in unfamiliar territories. That's the way war is.
That's right.
That's the way it is, and we have to allow that God in us to manifest itself in that manner. And Pastor, through my journey, I have learned to do that. And there's so many people. And like I said, like Paul said when he was dealing with the church at Corinth, he said, you know, I planted the seed, but it was Apollos who watered it. But it was the power of God that made it grow. And that thing stays with me. So many people on our journeys, they told people about God, and then somebody else come along and add a bit to it, then another person come along and add that and this to it. So then God began to manifest himself through changing in people's lives, because then they are, by that time, they are open up to hear about Jesus. Because a lot of people I've learned on this journey, you know, are on the fence. They're on the fence, so to speak.
Right.
So you gradually feed them, spoon feed them. You can't give them meat because it's too much. It's too heavy, you know, because everybody is on a different level. They believe, because I always say that my theory is you got to believe not to believe. It's just something just happened that made you feel it, but you believe.
Exactly.
Or else you would not believe. How can you say you don't believe in something, yet you got to believe that thing from the beginning in order to say you don't? It's just like, I don't like, some people will say, for example, I don't like so-and-so. I don't like to eat onions. But in other words, you had to taste it first, didn't you? In order to say you don't like it.
Amen.
You see where I'm at?
That's right.
See, so they have to have, at some point in their life, something happened. Maybe it was in their childhood. Maybe something happened. They prayed a prayer that they feel like God should have answered. But then they didn't understand how God works. So now they're upset with God when they don't understand what faith really is. God is, and faith are two things that are so similar. And the reason why it's impossible to God to please people who don't have faith, because to have faith is to understand the resourcefulness of God. And once we have faith is the only thing, because what we realize that God cannot be contained. He's too big.
That's true. Yeah.
To be put into a box. So faith is the only thing that is endless, it's infinite. The possibilities of what he can do rest in the space of faith. So he moves in that thing. And that is why it is so important to have faith, because it's the only room that he could get in and manifest miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And people got to understand the nature of that thing. It is a living organism. It ain't dead. It's been here long before we got here. And once we understand how it works and how God moves, we see him every day. How can one say he doesn't exist when we see the invisible qualities of God each and every day? The Word of God says he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I would go even farther to say we see the wind blowing. We feel it blowing every day, yet we cannot see it. Yet God moves in the same fashion. You don't see him, but you can feel him. It is an invisible quality that cannot be denied. And if anybody want to know that God exists, just take their breath away. Just as sure as we die, God exists. Death itself, Pastor, is an example that he exists. For he said it's appointed unto man once to what? Die. And if he said that, it is what it is. That itself is another invisible quality that can be seen when breath leaves us. That's an invisible quality, and then people won't understand because God is an invisible entity. Yet he's with us because we are in him and he is in us. And no matter how we look at it, we can't escape that. No matter how people run, you cannot outrun something that's bigger than you, especially when you are inside of it. He is in us and we are in him. Why
yes,
he's in us? Through the breath that we breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it is, Pastor. It's all about that breath. It's all about the breath. And it's the breath that we breathe that he gives us the ability to speak. It is the breath that we breathe allows us to have an audience with him. It is through the breath that the word is manifested. The breath becomes the word. The universe was made from a word, a breath. And it's that same breath that he breathed that made the word that he breathed into man, and we became what we are. Hallelujah. I thank him every day of my life. I fall to my knees and I praise God just for the very breath we breathe, because I tell you, none of us can live without it. And that is God. Creation is God. He is what he is. He is creation itself. So how can one say he doesn't exist when we see him every day? Pastor, that's the thing that's kept me so many, all these years, and kept me grounded and rooted.
Yeah.
That's kept me grounded and rooted and knowing who he is. And I don't get into debates with people about what they think, or none of those things, because who am I? For the word of God said in the book of John, he said, for God so loved the world that he came into the world, not to condemn the world, but to him that the world might be saved. And if he didn't come to argue with people about what they think, who am I? Whosoever we are, let them come. We have to allow them to come up under their own volition. It is not force. It's not by force. It's got to be something that moves people. It's got to be something in us, a word we said, or something that we have done that changes people. It can even be a little word. I've seen people. I'll never forget when I was in university, there was a young lady, and it's obvious that she was going through something. And I walked into the office because I was working at the same time, and I was asking, well, when am I going to get paid? And she got short with me. So we exchanged some words. And as I walked away, I felt so bad on the inside and said, you know what, Fred, you you shouldn't have handled that. And I turned all the way around, went back into the office and said, you know what, I'm so sorry. I apologize for what I did. I feel like I was wrong. And being the kind of person that I am, I say, you know, I'm not too big to apologize. I'm wrong for what I said. And then she opened up and said, you know, it's okay. I'm going through some things. And that gave me the opportunity to minister. But had I walked away, she would have been left there feeling some kind of way and saying, this guy's supposed to be a son of God, yet he said what he said. But the God in me, the Spirit moved me to go back and do the right thing. And that person became an entirely different person. I mean, we have Bible studies, all the group of us, we would get together and we would praise the Lord and just, and they go away from the university and doing amazing things. The thing is, just to drop a seed here and there to share a word or something to help people, because I learned in this life that it's hard to reach a people, first of all, who don't even understand what faith is. It's hard to reach a people who know of God but don't truly understand what it is about. So many people's lives have been changed throughout the course of my life because of the power of God and the fact that he placed the word in me that suited their need. It wasn't nothing that I was so amazing that I thought of. I know it was God that moved mysteriously to say this or put a word in me to say this or that to that people. It's people, Pastor, I know for sure, who of other faith have actually just changed their whole lives now in looking in the faith of Christianity. It's not because of something someone said. It's just because they watch you and they see how you move and they see the things you do and what you say and how you say it. And not only just a case of saying, but invite them in through prayer. Every prayer that I ever open up, because we have sins of omission and sins of commission, I would say, Lord, first of all, before I even come to you or asking for anything, could you just forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness before I plead my case? Do that for me. And then I would pray. Because sometimes we don't know if we offend people. Sometimes, and we don't do it deliberately, but we may be unaware. So one thing I always tell people, before you even pray, ask them to forgive you. Because none of us are perfect in terms of on our walk. It's a learning process. It's a lifelong process, in fact. And we are constantly changing. We are constantly evolving. We are constantly transforming, becoming a better person. The challenge is to become a better you, and that's what I tell people. So I stand before God every single day of my life when I enter prayer, and I beg him, Lord, please, forgive me. I don't know. I don't know. I don't. So, Pastor, my journey in terms of the music and how it's portrayed, because I lost them. I worked in positions. I lost everything. And not because I mismanaged anything. It's because of my given nature. And sometimes people saw that, and I was so young, and they took advantage of it. And God was raised me up again. Picked me up, raised me up. Picked me up, and then I can't help being what he made me to be. So, but I've learned now, through the challenges and the things that I face, how to step back and evaluate things without jumping into it wholeheartedly with my heart, and evaluate things through my mind and say, Lord, lead me. You know, lead me. Help me to understand what I'm in. Help me to, you know, kind of deal with these things. But he's been awesome, and he's been great in my life, and I thank the Lord each and every day for everything that he's done, everything that he's doing. The music thing is just a mere portion of what he's going to do, because it's the music thing that's going to cause things to become what they are in this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
By using a song or music that could people can relate to from all walks of life, because I've traveled and I've been so many different places, it has taught me how to approach people and how to deal with people and how to bring people in, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes our fire
yeah.
can be too hot that people can't get close to us because our fire is so hot and it's burning. It's burning. It's burning.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have to tone that fire down in order to pull them in, you know.
I like that.
That's right.
That's true.
So that's where I am, Pastor. See, Alan, you done got me rolling and my mouth just going on and on.
I love it.
You know, that's you being a preacher, a pastor, man. You know,
mm-hmm.
You've got more than one anointing on you,
mm-hmm.
and and you can't help but to walk in it. And we really appreciate it.
I thank you.
Gifts make room.
And Miss Tecila for having me. And I'm so grateful and humbled by
yeah.
the fact that
the
you know,
gifts of music
guys are,
and yeah, the gifts of music
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, that just opened the doors for you to get to certain people and certain things. You know, you could be singing before a king in Abu Dhabi, and then you got a minister and tell him about Jesus. You know,
amen.
Amen. It just opened doors. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
the
does.
Gifts
yes,
make the rooms. And a lot of times people look at the gifts as something bigger than what it really is. But when you're
Amen.
A Christian, you put it in its proper perspective. You know,
mm-hmm.
just like you said, that one Paul watereth, Apollos, you know, does something else. We all are workers for the king, but God is
mm-hmm.
constantly moving pieces around. He's the one that's doing all the work. He's looking
Amen.
From the top.
Amen.
And he's making
mm-hmm.
things
Amen.
Happen. We're the pawns. And we're
mm-hmm.
moving along with him. We're co-workers
mm-hmm.
and
Amen.
Partakers with Christ. But he's making
Amen.
Everything happen. So when I see people take credit for it, I'm like, you don't know what's really going on. You're not in the real
exactly.
business of the
mm-hmm.
kingdom
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
Jesus does everything. He orchestrates,
Amen.
He creates, and he
mm-hmm.
and organizes, and he puts everybody where they're supposed to be. Like making
mm-hmm.
you go to the UK or to Germany
uh-huh.
at the same time another person is there
mm-hmm.
and by happenstance. It's really not. It's just the way he
mm-hmm.
works.
Amen.
You know,
it's his
and
plan.
Meeting people. Yeah,
yeah
he has plans. And
mm-hmm.
I just and he sits up and he strategizes how he's going to do it. I just want to be
mm-hmm.
a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a
yeah.
part of God's strategy. How are you putting
mm-hmm.
that together? Lord, let me in. I want to be it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he needs, and
so
he takes.
Go ahead,
Pastor Peter. And he takes people like you, Freddie, who have more than one anointing upon him,
mm-hmm.
Upon you, and to walk into a different arenas where you can be used in many ways. And then we learn
mm-hmm.
how to use the anointing that he's placed on us. Like, for instance, our music. We learn that,
mm-hmm.
okay, so we our music is to bring people into the presence of the Lord. And once we
mm-hmm.
really make up our mind and know that, then we are better
mm-hmm.
We are better anointed for that purpose. And then our
Amen.
Preaching, our teaching, and what we do, we know that we must glorify the Lord in all that we do. And then
Amen.
The anointing becomes more and it becomes better. And then we start
mm-hmm.
submitting more to the Lord and walking under that anointing, and we start winning
mm-hmm.
more souls. And that's
Amen.
The bottom line, is the win
Amen.
Souls.
Well,
Freddie, I want to ask you if you could pray for, we have about 5 minutes or so left. Can you pray for some, for our listeners, however the Lord is leading you, just lift up a prayer for our listeners.
We'll do. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, eternal God, we stand in your holy presence now, and we bow our heads before you. But first of all, before we go anywhere, Father, I ask that you forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O God, as we stand before you.
Yes.
Oh, Father God, we thank you for life. We thank you for health and strength. Oh, God, we know that there's someone out there who is suffering in silence, somebody who's going through something. They're not even in a position to say anything or too embarrassed to say it. And, Father God, we know that you know what they need because we are not man-made. We are God-made. And because we know
Amen.
That you made us, we know that you understand everything that we need. We cast all our cares and our burden unto you, Father, for you say you will not allow the righteous to fall. We trust and we believe in you right now, O God, to do everything that you said you would do because we know that you will. We understand that you will not tell a lie and that you will never change. Oh, Father God, you are the eternal God that continues to just blow our minds right now, Father God. We're asking you to blow somebody's mm-hmm. mind. Bring them into the
yes.
understanding of who you are. Because even the word of God,
mm-hmm.
Jesus said that all things are possible with you, O God. Even in the word,
mm-hmm.
it said that some people only believe what they see. So, Father God, we ask that you manifest something in their lives right now to let them know that you are real in their lives. May it be a miracle through somebody else. Maybe a miracle through something. But, God, we need you to make a change right now in them that they will know that you
yes.
are God. And that you are almighty and that everything we do, we must go to your son, Jesus, Father God. And we ask you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Tosila, I think you were about to say something. You got some last-minute things you want to say?
I was just going to say that I'm glad that God, I found out, they shouldn't have never told me in the word that he has seven spirits.
Oh, more. Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
different functions and ways that God operates. And if he were, you were telling Freddie that he had multiple anointings and giftings
mm-hmm.
on him, which he does. And being a speaker, a giver, a lover of the Lord, and he has so and can sing and minister and just bring people into God's presence and so many things that I've noticed about him, and a kind person also, the fruit of the Spirit. And so
Amen.
The Lord has so many things that he would like to put on all of us, his
Amen.
Spirit, you know. And it operates in so
yes.
many different ways, and I'm glad to see it operating in the lives of Christians like you, Freddie Lee. God bless
Amen.
You with all that you do, you put your hands to, because, you know, your heart is for the King, and that's what we're
Amen.
All here for, is to glorify
Amen.
The King, and it doesn't
oh, yeah.
get any better than that, than we
it
all
does.
Understand what we're all here
yeah.
for, is to bring glory
Amen.
To Jesus. And
Amen.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much for being on the program tonight, for all your wisdom, you know, the things that you brought forth, to the audience. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of feedback. A lot of people are going to be really interested. And just go out and get Freddie's song, Freedom. Play it. How could they reach you, Freddie, with that song?
Amen. Repeat that last bit. I didn't catch
how
it.
Can they, how can they, how
oh,
are they able to get?
At the moment, it's waiting for clearance, and it should be on all digital platforms in the next few days. So,
okay.
I mean, you can get it on
yeah.
all the digital platforms, iTunes, TuneCore, all of those things. It should be available,
okay.
yes, in the next few days.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. And we want to thank everybody. We got about a minute left, and we want to thank everybody for tuning in. All of our faithful listeners, we love you so much. Remember that we are here every week, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And our brother Freddie, he's up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be on the show for us, and we really appreciate that.
What city is that?
All the way from the U. He's in U.
From
the
UK.
UK. What?
Yes, it's in
Uxbridge?
London, but it's called Uxbridge. Uxbridge,
oh, okay.
Dillon.
Okay. So it's in London.
It's just outside of London, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much, my brother. And everybody, we just want to say thank to everybody for tuning in, and we will see you all next week. We're running out of time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, y'all.
God bless
thank you.
Bye-bye. Nice to hear
God
you.
God bless you, too. It's a pleasure.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.